Today on the Southern California Real Estate Report, we talk about the city's purchase of the Ash Street building. Stay tuned.
Good morning. Welcome to the Southern California Real Estate Report. This is Bob McGuire and Danielle Wise coming to you from San Diego, California. Interesting topic today. We've been following a lot of transactions that have occurred in the city. Usually it's private parties, right, who are doing developments. This topic today is with the city of San Diego and their attempted purchase of a building downtown on Cortez Hill, and it's been a pretty infamous transaction. It's located on Ash Street. For those of you who have been following this, that it was the old Sempra Energy building, wow, it has turned into a huge mess.
It's kind of, honestly, it's pretty embarrassing, I think.
On so many levels, too.
Yeah.
And it just shows you also, so this article is from the Union Tribune, Danielle and I both have kind of checked it out. It's a recent article, too. It's from, like, a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So this is still fresh on people's mind. Obviously, we're in a pretty heated election cycle right now.
Yeah.
And the current mayor, Kevin Faulkner, is leaving. So this article is pretty scathing against Faulkner for kind of being really, I mean, there's just no other way to describe it, just being pretty reckless about how they handled this transaction. So it's a combination of things, right? So on one side, too, they're really in a bad situation now because they truly have a building that apparently is just dilapidating and falling apart that they're occupying right now. So they went to go acquire this building from Sempra Energy. There were multiple partners involved in it. It was at one point going to be converted into hotel apartments. There was ideas of, well, this is in an employment overlay zone, so it actually has to be 50% commercial. So long story short, the original plan wasn't really able to get through. So the city came along, and there were some brokers involved in it. There were also some internal third-party brokers that were consulting for the city. I would say if they were consultants, they probably are trying to be quiet and find lawyers right now because this is going to get really ugly. And in the brokerage world, you know, when you're operating as in that capacity, it certainly exposes you to some liability because they're relying on your professional expertise. The big problem with this building is that it's full of asbestos. So nobody did any due diligence. The city signed a lease back to the owner and has paid $50 million in lease payments to date into an asbestos-filled building. And then a third-party developer came in. They put together basically, a developer came in, purchased it on behalf of the city, and it was going to be sort of a build-to-suit arrangement. They were paying lease payments to them. They also ended up participating in the sale of the building, so I don't know the exact details. They didn't go into a lot of that in this particular article. But what sounds like happened was that it was basically, okay, we'll have to get paid from the city while we're getting the tenant finish work done and we're figuring out what we're doing. Nobody did any due diligence, none. I mean, that's obvious. They had no inspections. They originally said, no, it's not a big deal. We only have to do a little bit of power scrubbing, whatever power scrubbing is. I don't know if they mean power washing, like going in and power washing the interior of the building, but it seemed I didn't understand that.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, but that's what they said that they thought had to be done. And the building is full of asbestos. The abatement is going to be tens of millions. They've already paid $50 million in lease payments, and there's $14.5 million that are missing from the original sale. And now the developer guy is like, well, you know, we don't know where that went. So it's a mess.
It's a mess. And anyone who's ever, like, we think about asbestos, every once in a while a homeowner or even a tenant will run into it. And, like, it's challenging to remove a foot of asbestos.
Yeah, I mean, asbestos is a process where there's really only two options that you can do with it that are approved by the EPA. So number one is you can contain it and you can do what's called encapsulation, which basically you encapsulate everything so that it can't be moved, it can't be touched, it can't be. Now, I don't know what the asbestos is in this particular building. I think the year of construction on this building was in the 70s, I thought it said. And we could certainly get that information. But either way, so the asbestos for here could be two-part. I mean, it is not unusual to have asbestos around all the heating ducts and things like that.
No.
We've run across that in buildings that we manage and that we've also had to deal with it on construction levels. But you always call in an asbestos abatement team, and that's who you really get to do these things.
Yeah, so they're obviously expensive.
They're extremely expensive, and this one sounds like the asbestos is maybe even, you know, it may be spread through some of the girders. So long story short, they ended up moving some of the city people into it because the other building was falling apart. Lo and behold, all of a sudden, they moved in a couple floors of city people. Then they started doing inspections on the building, and now everyone's suing the city because they've been exposed to asbestos too. So now you have workers that are saying they were exposed to asbestos, and you have the people that were inspecting it that, you know.
Now the question is, you know, were they really exposed to asbestos if nothing was moved prior to them moving in? Maybe not, luckily. I mean, who knows? But
you know, good luck in court with that, though. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things that, you know, is just – this is going to be one of those – you know, unfortunately, Kevin Faulkner in this article is – it's a scathing article about how he handled this and that they're – you know, that the current real estate director – so two of the key people have left the city over – this problem. One is their real estate director, who originally said she didn't want them to do it, but then somehow got on board with it because I believe she was probably being pressured, from what the article says, to do it. And number two was one of the internal guys who was helping with the transaction. So there's really a lot of issues. There's going to be a lot of finger pointing in this. It's kind of, you know, the ugly side of politics, unfortunately. There's going to be there's going to be a lot of expense to this too. And the question is, now the building is somewhat stigmatized, so what do they do with the building? And what are the real expenses going to be? So originally, the original developer, when he had put the deal together, let me just see if I can find this. So they, so it says that, so they said when the mayor's staff brought the 20-year lease to own agreement to the council in October, it was not made clear that the building had appraised for $62 million and later $67.1. It was also not made clear to the council that efforts to buy the building outright had stalled at $90 million. Sestera Development is the company that did kind of the lease-to-own deal. And they put a lease-to-own deal with the city at Civic Center Plaza, just across from the courtyard from City Hall. Mm-hmm. So they had done one of these deals before. They reached out to Shapery, who was the other development, to take over this property contingent on reaching agreement with the city. So there's kind of these dual transactions that were taking place. So long story short, Sestera act as kind of a double, as like a middleman here. So, and they thought that it was going to be between 80 and 90 million to get the deal together. And then they had like a $5 million estimate, I think, for repairs and maintenance. Well, long story short, in 2018, Kevin Faulkner comes back and asks for $30 million from the city for additional expenses for the TI. So the whole thing, it's like, You know, I mean, you just have to scratch your head at how this was handled from a standpoint of the city. It just shows you the lack of discretion when it comes to tax dollars, right?
It also shows you what happens when you find yourself in a room with a lot of people, a lot of opinions, and it's so hard to push things through. Once something gets through, you just start running with it, and you just dig yourself bigger and bigger and bigger holes.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing is about this is that not only is it bad from a civic standpoint of, you know, you could call this, one of those things that you would say is a political, you know, waste of money, no doubt about it. But at the other end of it is that you have all these professionals you believe, but nobody is advising on the process, which amazes me that you could have this many people involved in this and yet nobody decided to do any due diligence. Nobody called a professional contractor in to run inspections floor by floor and actually see this. It's so easy to do.
Wait, and also you would expect it in a building this old.
Especially when you're getting ready to do all the tenant finish and the TI. And we know from a standpoint of having to pull permits, you know, what this process is like. And it's like, I'm just amazed. Like, we're worried about permits for dang electrical outlets.
Right.
You know, and it's just amazing.
It's like, well,
nobody said, okay, well, before we discuss any economics, let's have an inspection done and let's come up with a space plan and let's figure out, you know, what we're going to do as far as tenant finish, and then we'll back into pricing and we can actually put like real economics to this. I mean, they overpaid for the building by 30 mil and then they had another 30 mil overage and they've paid 50 million in lease payments and the building is uninhabitable.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's really, you know, you don't have to be a genius to realize that a building like this is going to have asbestos. I don't know how you cannot think about that. Maybe they did, you know, and I think someone probably did. I think that's the problem is that I think there was the problem when you put too many cooks in the kitchen is that oftentimes you just don't get the results that you're looking for.
Well, it's an interesting problem, and now it's absolutely riddled with problems. So they have a building that's uninhabitable. They have employer lawsuits going on over asbestos. They have asbestos abatement that they have to get done. And right now, Faulkner officially has stopped the lease payments, which, thank God, the 50 mil is, you know, that we're all done with that. But at the same time, I mean, to dig out of this problem and get this thing turned around and figure out what they're going to do with it, I mean, this is going to be the most expensive building in the history of downtown San Diego after it's all said and done. And the taxpayers of San Diego are ultimately going to end up paying for it. So it is one of those things. This is certainly not a political or anti-tax podcast today, but it is a real estate podcast. These are people in the city that should just be making better decisions, and they had outside real estate people, and shame on them. Advising them. And now it's a situation where, you know, people have lost their jobs. You know, you've got, you know, all these, you know, crazy lawsuits that are going to go on. And this is far from over. I mean, there's going to be some real fallout from this. And, you know, once lawyers get into this, this is going to turn into a very messy situation for those that are involved. And I have a feeling there's just going to be a lot of finger pointing. But at the end of the day, the city is still in this dilapidated building downtown. So if you're a developer, there's a development opportunity with the city. They need to find somewhere to work. But this building is going to be tied up in litigation. You're not going to be able to do anything. And, you know, they're at some point going to have to move. So, I mean, that you're looking at a 3 to 5 year process here probably. So it's a mess. It's certainly an interesting thing. If you want more on this article, the Union Tribune has been following it very closely. I know that also the San Diego Business Journal had some information in it, too.
I think everyone is following this story.
I think everyone's following this story.
It's kind
because
of a big real estate story.
It's one of the bigger real estate stories in downtown San Diego, for sure. So if you want to go see the building, it's located on Ash Street right behind Cortez Hill or right behind El Cortez. And,
you might not want to walk into it.
Don't go inside because there's asbestos.
That's a joke. You probably are
so,
totally safe.
Yeah. But, hey, thank you for listening today. This is the Southern California Real Estate Report.